To kick off each hour of the Best of the Quest Pledge Drive, we've asked the Catholic schools in the Archdiocese to say a prayer.
Hi, everybody. These are our five Alive students from St. Catherine's Preschool in Kennesaw, Georgia. They are our oldest students, and they are going to lead this morning with the Hail Mary.
Joseph, Margaret,
Ava, Olivia,
James,
Zoe,
Cece,
Vicky,
John,
Jordan,
Beatrice.
What do we love about St. Catherine's Preschool?
Jesus!
All right, prayer hands up to heaven, next to your hearts, in the name of
the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women,
and
blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of death. Amen.
Name of
the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Indeed.
Amen.
Well, as you know, I'm not Father Ricardo. We do not have Christ is the Answer on right now. This is our pledge drive, the Best of the Quest pledge drive on AM 1160 The Quest. I'm Dave Savage, the programming and production manager here at The Quest. And I will introduce, if you were listening yesterday afternoon between like 4 and 5 o'clock, you heard Father Neil and you heard Carissa on. If you turned off the radio and just turned it back on now, you might think Carissa stayed here all night.
I did. That's what I did. I was in all-night adoration. I feel wonderful.
Right. And maybe it feels like you've stayed here all night. I don't know. But no. Anyway, Carissa's back, and we're so glad to have her.
Thanks, Dave.
And you brought some friends with you.
I did.
We've got Andy Lichtenwalner.
Yep. Lichtenwalner. Great job.
Thank you. Thank you. And then Ron Vahey.
Thank you.
Hey, welcome. We're going to be talking about some cool stuff. I just want to mention a few things, a little housekeeping here first right off the bat. We've raised on day one, it's a 3-day pledge drive. Day one yesterday, we raised just a hair over $40,000.
That's amazing.
Praise God.
Yeah,
wonderful.
It is.
Thanks, everybody.
Now, that's wonderful. Our goal, though, for the 3-day pledge drive is $175,000.
Okay.
So
we can do it.
This is doable.
We'll step it up on day two and three.
Let's go Lichtenwalder
right.
family.
That's right.
And friends.
Let's go St. Catherine's.
That's right. And also, I want to encourage monthly donors. If you're not a monthly donor, really, it's something to pray about and think about and be a part of your tithing. And also, if you are already a monthly donor, could you maybe... I hate to even ask this, but consider raising that a little bit, because if you think about it, I saw something yesterday. It was online, so it had to be true.
Definitely.
sure. But that with the inflation, what we're spending right now is like $400 a month more than what it was a year ago.
As somebody who buys groceries, I can attest to that.
Yeah, that's absolutely. For sure. And that doesn't just go for households. That goes for the Quest, too.
Yeah.
Our monthly and our expenses have increased. So
here's what you do. You go to one of those apps that looks at all those subscriptions that you have and that you don't even know you signed up for, like me, because I'm really, really bad at that. And you just cancel one. Just any of them, you know, because they're probably not doing you that much good. And just redirect that money as a monthly pledge to the Quest.
Or even
easy
that,
peasy.
That gym membership that you signed up for in January.
Let's not talk about that. We want to believe, Dave, that we're going to continue to reach those New Year's resolutions.
For many people, January 5th was the last day you were there. So you
that's
might
what streets are for. You can run on them.
I know. I do like that. You're right. That's what we're doing. I'm not at the gym because I'm on the streets running.
That's right. Enjoying the fresh air. So just consider that. Just consider maybe raising it if you already are. We do appreciate you. Just do whatever you can. And we're looking for first-time donors as well. If you've maybe listened to the Quest and have not donated, but you get something out of it, consider taking care of
Absolutely.
So
I love the music analogy from yesterday, thinking of the guitarist on the side of the street or the musician singing, and you know, you drop a couple bucks in the guitar case.
If you appreciated it, and so if you've listened to the question, maybe Al Cresta said something, or whoever it was, you know, Dr. Greg, and maybe one of them said something that kind of resonated. Consider dropping a couple bucks in the guitar case here at the Quest.
We need this to continue. We were just talking before we went on air about the first time Andy was on in 2019, and he spoke about just his father had just recently passed, and that was life-changing for me. And that was during a pledge drive.
Right.
So anyway.
And I almost didn't do it, but amazing. I know my dad wanted me to do it. Yeah. My family came through and supporting, but to be able to share the story of how we came together, how we were able to accompany my dad during those final months, and just a beautiful, you know, our parents just showed us such great love. They were married over 60 years.
Wow.
And you know, we're going to be talking about the Eucharist today and the Eucharistic revival. And, you know, it starts in the home and in our parishes and in the people that are closest to us and living out that love, living out that gratitude, living out the Eucharist day in and day out. So I've had a great example of that in my family. Look forward to sharing a bit more about what the revival's about during this hour, too.
Well, and so I see on my notes here now, Andy, you are the Archdiocese Director of Eucharistic...
There's a lot of language there. So I'm the Director of the Office of Evangelization and Discipleship.
Thank you.
I've been blessed to be back in the Archdiocese a little over 4 years now, which has been, I grew up here in the Archdiocese. I want to roll off real quick. Mm-hmm. So parishes that were important for me are schools, St. John Newman, St. Stephen the Martyr, parishes growing up, Our Lady of the Assumption, St. Pius X for Catholic
schools,
education here. And we're blessed to be at St. Catherine of Siena right now at the parish. And then our kids are at the school there. It was so beautiful to hear those little preschoolers this morning.
Yeah. Those are our preschoolers.
Our preschoolers at St. Catherine's.
Well, my youngest and your next youngest were just there a year and a half ago or so.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But, you know, as part of my job, I'm also a point person for this National Eucharistic Revival. So we'll talk a little bit more about that. But maybe Carissa, if you want to reintroduce yourself, and then Ron.
Yeah, definitely. Sure. So my name is Carissa Sines. I'm the Director of Marketing and Stewardship at St. Catherine's. And yesterday we were talking about a new endeavor that we have going on, a new high school that we're starting up there. And my family is at has been at St. Catherine's for about, I guess, almost 14 years, 15 years now. And I have four kids, and my husband John teaches there, and our kids are at St. Catherine's and Blessed Trinity. I don't know what else to say. I'm music director, too, so I'm delighted to be here at the Quest again. Love being here. And Ron, our new friend.
Thank you. Ron Vahey, I go to St. Peter Chanel. Our family belongs there. I've been there since we were over at Queen of Angels, before we had a hall and before we had the church, and it's seen it grow and what have you.
Stunning campus.
Yeah, it's pretty nice.
Sure
because you have the whole from all the way up to high school and the sports and everything
that's
that the
really cool.
parish does. And have been there, as you said, and did a little volunteer in the work as a lector and Eucharistic minister and as well as a guardian. Involved in that and the men's group, trying to get others to
really
the fellowship
important.
And volunteer for different things within the parish and the community. So
awesome.
Have a couple kids. They're graduated from college and working. And my wife and I, we've been married 33 years.
Wow. Praise God. Congratulations.
So,
we're doing that. Sheila's put up with me that long.
You might make it.
Yeah, maybe. We'll have to see the next 30. We'll have to, maybe she's listening or maybe she's slipping in. She worked yesterday.
It's that 34th year. That's the tough
is
one.
Is it? Okay.
The 34-year itch.
Go that extra hour or so every month there for an adoration to make it happen. So thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Yeah, no, thanks for coming by. Thanks for helping out. If you're just tuning in, this is the Best of the Quest Pledge Drive on AM 1160 The Quest. And we're looking for donations, or even more importantly, pledges. You pledge, pray on it, but pledge to give something every month over the next year. And you can do that by calling 470-508-1160. Go to thequestatlanta.com, or you can, I'm sure everybody has the app on their phone. I mean,
definitely.
Come on.
Yeah.
I confirmed this
yesterday.
Just
a couple buttons and you're there.
Yeah. Yep. And on that app, there's a little thing that says donate. You just tap that and you can take care of it right there.
That's awesome.
So once again, that phone number is 470-508-1160. And so I'm wondering now, would we start this conversation at the Eucharistic Congress that happened back in June?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
Because the Eucharistic Congress in June, for those that aren't aware, but I think many people in the Archdiocese are, you know, we've had this great tradition of having Eucharistic Congresses every year for the last 25 years, essentially. We had a pause with COVID and the year following that, but this was started by Archbishop Donahue, who called for a Eucharistic renewal in this Archdiocese. And to me, it's really, it's personally impactful, you know, that renewal was. So, because I was in high school at the time, and I had an encounter with the Lord in the Eucharist where the Eucharist just came alive, where I realized, wow, Jesus actually desires my friendship. He wants me to be in relationship with him. He wants me to kind of share about him. And I found out during that same year, this was my senior year of high school at Pius, St. Pius X, that the Archdiocese had called for this Eucharistic renewal. So I've connected the dots since then, being more appreciative of, man, there were people praying for renewal during that time. And it flowered in many ways across the Archdiocese, seeing Eucharistic adoration grow more throughout our parishes, seeing the Eucharistic Congress come up. But yeah, I can share a little bit more about this year, why it's special too, but.
Well, and that's exactly where I was going with it, is because, at the Eucharistic Congress this year, there was an announcement.
Right. Yeah. So this Eucharistic Congress for us in the Archdiocese kicked off the Eucharistic Revival. It's a 3-year effort that actually the bishops of the United States have called for. And this was even before COVID hit us. The bishops at the national level were discerning, praying about, you know, what does our church here in the United States need? You know, there, folks are familiar maybe with some studies that have been done recently that have shown, you know, really lack of Eucharistic faith, a lack of understanding as well of who the Eucharist is.
Well, it seems like I saw a study, a survey or something of Catholics, practicing Catholics, that there's a large percentage of them that don't believe that actually is the body and blood of Christ.
Right. The bad news is that a lot of folks that identify as Catholic, don't understand the fullness that the Eucharist is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. The good news, though, is that when you dig into the stats and when you look at those that are really practicing their faith, going to Sunday Mass regularly, praying, that it looks a lot better. But it's still a concern. The concern is that there are a lot of our brothers and sisters who are Catholic that aren't going to Mass,
There's
that aren't
a lot of
attending.
Work to be done.
And then you see that in terms of their understanding of the faith and how they're living it out. So, I mean, this revival partly is responding to that. Providentially, though, it comes after COVID, after a period where in this country, and we've never really experienced anything like this in our lifetime,
right?
You know, where we couldn't attend Sunday Mass, you know, like we could do it virtually, but the actually being there, where actually a lot of people in other countries experience that because they don't have the priest to celebrate. Yeah. But in our country, we were kind of
spoiled.
It was a crisis, in many ways. And we're still growing out of that. But this revival is a great opportunity to encourage us. Hey, come back to Mass, make the Lord the center.
So what can you help us understand what the timeline is and what both nationally and locally, what is the Eucharist, what is the revival?
Yeah, great question, Carissa. So there's 3 years that the bishops have called for. We're in this first year of the revival that started with our Eucharistic Congress locally, but for the whole church in the United States, the Corpus Christi, the Feast of Corpus Christi. And we're in a diocesan year right now. And I think a big part of this year for us in Atlanta is building awareness that there is a revival. And we're still just getting the word out. But as we get the word out, really inviting people to pray and pray into the revival and ask the Holy Spirit to guide. Where's the Lord calling us as an archdiocese, as a parish, as a family, as an individual? Where is he calling you right now to grow in the revival? This first year then leads into the second year, which is being called the Year of Parish Revival. Which the hope there from the bishops is that this thing doesn't just kind of land at top leadership, that it really enters into our communities and affects the smallest units, small groups, families, individuals. And then it all leads to a year of sending, of mission, which starts with this National Congress in Indianapolis. So we're going to have the first National Eucharistic Congress in about 50 years. You know, the last one, I think, was 1976 or so. John Paul II was there even before he was Pope. We're having that again in the nation.
So that's going to be in 2024.
That's in 2024, mm-hmm. July 17th through the 21st in Indianapolis. And that kicks off this year of mission, of sending, where the church as a whole, we're being called to be Eucharistic missionaries, to go out to mm-hmm. spread the love of Christ mm-hmm. and to spread
evangelize.
Our Eucharistic faith and to evangelize, to proclaim the gospel.
It's
meant to be something where, okay, at the end of 2025, it's not like, okay, the revival ended and we're done. This is the beginning.
It's the beginning
of a new movement, a new chapter in the church's history here in the United States that we hope will bear a lot of fruit.
Yeah.
So we are in the middle of our pledge drive right here, the Best of the Quest pledge drive on AM 1160 The Quest. Speaking this morning with Carissa Sines, Ron Vahey, and Andy Lichtenwalner. And Andy is the
Director of Evangelization and Discipleship and the point person for the National Eucharistic Revival here in Atlanta.
Thank you very much.
I need one more cup
of coffee and I'll be able to do it. Okay. But anyway, so like I said, this is a pledge drive. And we're looking for your pledges for those monthly donations. Ideally, if you can only give one time, that's fine. A one-time donation is certainly welcome. But if you could pledge to do a monthly donation, that would be fantastic as well. The number to call, if you want to do that, 470-508-1160. You can go to thequestatlanta.com. There's a little dollar sign there you click on. Or if you have the app on your phone, you can tap the donate button on the app.
Thank you, Dave. So I was wondering, Ron, have you heard in your parish about the Eucharistic Revival, first of all? And if so, what have you heard? What are you thinking? I mean, just like I know because I know Andy.
Right.
I know a little bit more about it just because of exposure. But what is it like in your parish?
Hey, well, it's okay if you haven't.
Well, let's see.
It is okay. It's a good thing, right? Because that's what we're doing.
Can I jump in here real quick and say, if you're listening to The Quest, you would know a little bit more about it, too.
Amen.
That's
okay.
True. That's true. There. That cuts both ways. Because if I say, I have no idea, when I see Monsignor here in a couple of days, I may have to go to confession. So, I think I have heard some talk about, not the detail that you've expressed already, Andy, but the idea of what we need to do coming from the last couple of years is amazing. Because it all starts with, you know, inside the parish, if you will, that the global is, but it'll help us look individually in our families that who's doing what can I do a little bit different? And it's just amazing what the little things you spend that
time. That's such a good point. Somebody was asking me about St. Catherine's has trended a lot traditional lately. And so we are seeing this revival of veil wearing, especially with our younger women.
We're seeing more of that too. Yeah,
really. Mm-hmm. We're seeing a revival. That. Also, I mean, we've put in kneelers to receive communion. And I was speaking to somebody on Saturday at a soccer game, and she said, "I feel like we've gone back to the 50s," and she wasn't complaining about it, but it is neat that we're seeing this. It seems like inspirations of the Holy Spirit, like this desire to point towards what we're actually doing, which is receiving the true presence, even for those of us who are not like super educated. And
it's part of that is that, you know, all knees shall bend at the name of our Lord. So if we're actually going to be at the foot of the heavenly presence there and receive him, being on our knees to receive communion is tradition, but it's I think it's very reverent.
There's also just for me, there's just a humility and an offering of love to our Lord in that moment, like just feed me, Lord. And anyway, so what are things that are happening in your parish that you would say are going to enhance this, and what would you like to see happening?
Well, some of the things that St. Peter Schnell is a really active parish. I mean, we've got like 90. I hope I say there are 90 some different ministries.
That's amazing. I'm glad I'm not the director of ministry there.
Me too. I'm just a little volunteer, and whenever Monsignor needs this, that, cooking or something, we do that. But some of the things that I'm only involved in a couple of them, and some of the things I'm aware of, like the Haiti food drive, we do that every year. That's a big one that we're part of, and we do volunteer. The men's group does some things every like one weekend. Somebody needs something in the house, and they growl. Few of us and somebody will go show up and go take care of somebody's place. And, you know, we've got the outreach for different things. I know we do down at the cathedral where we go down there and feed the group once a month during the 6 months it's being done. Is some things that I can attest to, but a little tiny bit, but there's a lot more involvement there for a lot more other people. And it's just something that you see there's, they're trying to do something for everybody at every age.
Yeah.
They do the missions for the kids and things like that. It just seems like there's an announcement every Sunday that, hey, this group is going to do this, or this, the young group, this, and there's a middle group there, and there's this kind of thing. And you're invited all the time, which, it's going to strike somebody somewhere.
And the more that we're growing in love for our Lord in the Eucharist, the more we're going to be naturally inclined to give in those areas. And right, Andy?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I mean, this, it's a beautiful witness of how the Eucharistic faith is alive, right? St. Peter Chanel and so many of our parishes, I mean, all of our parishes have a Eucharistic culture that they're living.
Mm-hmm.
And this is part of the revival is... it's not to kind of start a culture, it's to revive it, to renew it, to build it, build it up again. St. Peter Chanel is one of our parishes that have designated, pastor-nominated Eucharistic revival missionaries.
Yeah.
Something actually we're doing unique here in the Archdiocese, and some other dioceses have caught wind of it, to nominate a couple people that can kind of be connected to diocesan leadership, have a year of formation, accompaniment, Eucharistic formation, formation around the gospel, the kerygma, the proclamation of the gospel. And then they can serve as catalysts, as inspirers in their parish. Everybody's coming with different gifts, but they work with their pastors. First and foremost, just to pray. Pray for the revival, and then to prepare for this parish year. You know, what are we called to do in our parishes? So we still have parishes out there that haven't nominated missionaries yet for the revival, but they're all welcome to do that. And we're going to be contacting them over the next several months. But just invite everybody listening.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, definitely pray for that. Pray for the revival and donate to the Quest as well, right, Dave?
Absolutely. This is the Best of the Quest pledge drive on AM 1160 The Quest. And you can donate right now by calling 470-508-1160. Go to thequestatlanta.com or tap the donate button on that Quest app. So we're speaking this hour with Carissa Sines, Andy Lichtenwalner, and Ron Vahey. And Andy is the...
Director of Evangelization and Discipleship here in the Archdiocese.
I'll be able to say that before 9 o'clock, I promise you. But you know what I'm wondering, Andy? Now, you were talking this next year... what did you say it is the next year?
So this year's the diocesan year for the revival, they're calling it. And then the following year is the parish year.
The parish year. So what do I, as a parishioner, what do I do?
So
how do I act on this?
Yeah, great question. I'm going to plug something right now that's starting tomorrow. There's a virtual Eucharistic Revival Conference. That it's a national conference, but our Archdiocese has sponsored it. And we were part of the planning of it. It's based off a great work that just came out called Becoming Eucharistic People by Dr. Tim O'Malley at the McGrath Institute at Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. We're partnering with Virtual Catholic Conference, OSV, our Sunday Visitor, and some others are sponsoring this conference. It's free. Folks can register for it. You can go to archatl.com/revival. And that's an opportunity for folks just to dive into good formation right now. I think that's something that all of us can benefit from, no matter kind of how much education we have in the faith, we can always grow. And this conference is specifically dedicated to around understanding the revival and how we can live it now.
Okay.
Who are some of the speakers?
So, Dr. Tim, obviously, Catherine Angulo, who used to work for our Archdiocese in Youth Ministry, is there. Gloria Purvis.
Oh, yeah.
Charles Camosi. There's a lot of great folks. You can go right to the website to see all the speakers listed there. Yours truly is going to be moderating a panel, a live panel on Saturday. So there are some live opportunities and then some presentations.
And then will these be available on demand as well?
They're going to be available for the full 3 years of the revival.
Okay, great.
That'd be great.
We'll look into podcast availability too, because you can pull it up on your phone and listen to it on the phone, or just have it available on your computer. But it's free. It's free for everybody. This is really a gift to the church in the United States.
It's got to be convenient, because today it's not, but in 36 days and 12 hours, I'll be able to listen to it.
Right.
Somebody's going to say that. So.
Yeah, right. Definitely.
Right.
Well, and one of the neat things going back to the Quest is that on their app, you can listen to any of the shows, including repeats of this pledge drive, actually. People that I've missed in the past, I've always gone back and listened to them. Thanks for making that convenient.
And those, actually, the pledge drives are some of the most listened to.
Oh, really? That makes sense. Yeah.
And
that's cool.
So, yeah, it's awesome that we've got all that on demand, and you can get it on the app. But all of this takes money.
Yes,
it does. Yeah. And you would just be surprised. I mean, I and I've equated this before. Somebody way back, I've been in radio many years, and one of my old mentors had mentioned that radio is kind of like the electricity. Like when you walk into a room, you turn on the switch, it's there. You don't think anything. You don't think about the guy, you know, working down at the transformer or, you know, at the generator, whatever, however this electricity gets to your light. You don't think about that. And the same thing is true with radio. Mm-hmm. You turn on the radio, you just expect it to be there. You take for granted that it's going to be, you don't think about all the people and what it takes to get that message to you, to bring Dr. Ray to you, to bring Father Ricardo to you. Mm-hmm. What does it take? It takes a lot. Did you know, and maybe you heard this yesterday, do you know what it costs to power a 50,000 watt transmitter, AM transmitter for a year?
What does it cost?
I got a clue.
I think I heard it yesterday, so I'm not going to...
$36,000.
Yeah.
So you paid for that yesterday.
You did. Yeah, that's right. One day. Yeah, yeah, that's right.
So we got that taken care of. But now we got to keep the lights on.
We're so lucky now that you do take the radio for granted, but we take everything for granted. Mm-hmm. We're looking, we have the app that we can just listen to them on, and that costs money. And we have the website that we can just click live or just listen to whatever's happening if you happen to be. And probably, I would guess, the majority of the people listening are listening either through the app or through the website. That costs money. It's expensive. And
luckily, we have a volunteer who graciously, generously takes care of that, like kind of manages it for us. So whatever money you donate, we're making it work.
Oh, yeah.
You
know, we're good getting stewards of
we're
the
getting,
money.
Yes,
sure.
we're being very good, trying to be very good stewards of the money. And so it goes a long ways. Whatever you can give does go a long ways.
We're talking this hour about the Eucharistic Revival, and we're going to have to go to a break in just a second. But the thing about the Eucharist is that it unites us all and in the body of Christ. And that is that's an amazing thing to sort of meditate on and think about. And not to be too informal in this, but the reality of the new evangelization and media and evangelizing through the media is that it helps us realize how small we actually are, uniting us with our brothers and sisters all over the diocese. And that is, I'm so grateful for that personally. I don't know everyone in this diocese. Andy, you get to see a lot more people at the chancery than I do up in Kennesaw by myself. But I'm grateful for the quest for that reason above all.
Yeah, amen. I mean, the quest really is a gift to this archdiocese. It's providing evangelization, but it is unifying us where we can just tune in and hear all this great content.
And such a sad, depressing world sometimes. Don't listen to the news. Listen to something that's going to be affirming sometimes. You have to. Yeah.
And we were also talking yesterday about all the local things that the parishes are doing that the quest
like the
promotes.
Eucharistic miracles.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, we were talking about that yesterday because I heard about the Eucharistic miracles. I'll tell that story in the next half hour because we do have to go to a break.
We do. Let's go ahead and do that. And we will be right back with Carissa Sines, Andy Lichtenwalder, and Ron Vahey here on The Quest.
You're listening to AM 1160 The Quest, and this is our fall pledge drive, where the theme is The Best of The Quest, stories of inspiration. After hearing these stories of inspiration, if you are moved to donate, please call 470-508-1160. Go to our app or go to thequestatlanta.com. Remember, The Quest is 100% listener supported, and we rely on donations from people like you to stay on the air. We'll be back to the Best of the Quest pledge drive shortly on AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
The Quest presents The Family Room, sponsored by VerseBright.
Mark Greenberg talking about his conversion from Judaism to Catholicism.
I'm sitting at Mass, hearing these prayers, the same prayers I hear at the Jewish service. You know, holy, holy, holy. In the Jewish Sabbath service, we pray Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Same thing, holy, holy, holy. I say, what's going on here?
Hear this entire conversation on The Family Room podcast at thequestatlanta.com. New episodes Wednesday mornings at 11 on AM 1160, The Quest.
In today's world, cybersecurity is critical for your business. Award-winning VerseBright provides solutions to protect your company from hackers. For protection now, see VerseBright.com. That's VerseBright.com. The Quest thanks VerseBright for their support.
it's Christy with Healthy Coverage for Life. We offer low monthly health insurance premiums, no copays, and except for hospital stays, there are no deductibles. Time to start saving.
HealthyCoverageForLife.com.
Hey, I'm E. Walter Smith from Christ Our Hope Parish in Lithonia, Georgia. You're listening to AM 1160, The Quest, WCFO, East Point, Atlanta, covering all of Metro Atlanta and beyond. Listen on air or even find us online at thequestatlanta.com any time of the day. Embrace your journey. Come on, join The Quest.
The Quest presents Pro-Life Minutes.
In war, after a battle, there's always a casualty list, a report of the dead and wounded. The list after each abortion is one dead and one wounded. The pain of abortion is real, and the scars are present in a woman's heart and soul for a lifetime. Most women can tell you the exact date and day of the week of their abortion. All post-abortive women can tell you how old their child would be if their baby was not aborted. Even if a woman initially believed the abortion was a good decision, it will eventually catch up with her. Studies show that the majority of post-abortive women end up regretting their abortion. Millions of men and women mourn their lost parenthood daily. Please help guide them towards healing and wholeness by visiting healingafterabortion.com. Let's show the world that every life matters by speaking up for life at every opportunity.
For more homegrown wisdom, visit thequestatlanta.com.
Like a medium, half double decaffeinated, half calf, mocha non-fat with four shakes of cinnamon.
That'll be $5.86. Please pull around.
There's nothing wrong with spending $5 on a coffee, but is it helping to bring you and others closer to Christ? The cost of four of those coffee drinks each month could be your monthly donation to The Quest. We're totally listener-supported. We rely on donations from people like you. Please prayerfully consider making a monthly donation to support AM 1160 The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio.
The Quest presents Mom Minutes with Cameron Frad from Among the Lilies.
Our life as moms are so busy. We're driving to and from this activity, that sport, and we're just busy all the time. We need to take a moment for ourselves and to breathe. We need to find a resting place. I know for me, I'm so busy with my children, I don't actually have much time of quiet. And when there is a moment of quiet, my brain is racing to process all the interactions and or images or experiences of my day. How do you find a quiet place? How do you quiet your heart? We must remove things in our lives so that we can have our hearts as a resting place for Jesus. Take a moment and let Him dwell inside of you.
For more homegrown wisdom, visit thequestatlanta.com.
The Best of The Quest, stories of inspiration pledge drive on AM 1160, The Quest. Make your pledge or donation by calling 470-508-1160 on our app or go to thequestatlanta.com. Now back to the Best of The Quest pledge drive on AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio.
And we are back. In case you are wondering, I am not Father John Ricardo. Not by a long shot, that's for sure. I'm Dave Savage, the programming and production manager here at The Quest. And this is the pledge drive, as you just heard the announcer say there. And we are here with Carissa Sines and Andy Lichtenwalner, who is the
Director of Evangelization and Discipleship.
Thank you.
It's Ron, like, you know it or something. Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy.
I'm getting used to it.
Absolutely. So, and I was just mentioning in the break that this would ordinarily be the time that Father John Ricardo would be on. And so, Andy, you said.
Yeah. We have a pretty exciting announcement.
Pretty awesome. So we're actually bringing Father John Ricardo here. He's going to be live in Atlanta. This will be next year, 2023, September 9th.
Cool.
He's going to be leading a day called Rescue Live.
Wow.
He's part of this new apostolate that he helped form with permission from his archbishop in Detroit called Acts 29. It's the next chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. It's the, you know, the church writing. Yeah. We're writing the next chapter. Yeah. But their focus is on proclaiming the gospel, you know, helping dioceses think through re-energizing our priests, But then just getting the story out there. Like, we all have a story, mm-hmm. right? We all have a story of how the Lord has encountered us, is encountering us, how he's calling us to ongoing conversion. But there's the story where we encounter the Lord, we encounter the gospel. Like, mm-hmm. what is the gospel? Yeah. What is the good news? The story that makes sense of all of our stories. And all of our mm-hmm. stories are filled with, there's joys, there's also mm-hmm. sufferings, and some mm-hmm. of us, great sufferings, trauma, various challenges in our life. But the Lord has, he gives himself to us to make sense of our stories, mm-hmm. and for us to enter into his story, which is the defining story. So Father John's going to be here
live,
which is so cool. This is like we're using his hour right now. mm-hmm. For those of you who listen to The Quest, 8 o'clock every morning, Father John Ricardo is on this radio station just delivering such great uplifting content. There's so many great providers. Mm. You know, I think of David Anders, Dr. David Anders, Al Cresta, you know, Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak. I mean, there's so much great programming content here on The Quest. But so to have some of these folks like Greg and Lisa Popchak were here
at the Eucharistic Congress,
leading the family track. So The Quest has been a great partner with us in so many ways already, but they're partnering with us with this Eucharistic Revival and with this event with Father John Ricardo coming up. You're going to hear a lot more about it on The Quest, but this is the first time we're actually announcing it publicly.
It's a big deal,
and Father John's going to be with the priests as well. He's going to be leading a priest retreat following that event next year. So please pray for that. It'll be a great experience.
And to hear more about what's going on with Father John and you know how you can be a part of all that, keep listening to The Quest, because we'll have information on here as well. This is the Best of The Quest pledge drive. If you want to donate or pledge, is even better yet, where you make a monthly commitment, you can call 470-508-1160. You can go to thequestatlanta.com or on the app as well. You can tap the donate button.
So Carissa? Yesterday we were speaking, Dave, about the Eucharistic miracles. And I didn't tell this story yesterday, but so I was going through something, and you know, like we all do, right? This is maybe, I don't know, I guess 6 months or so ago, probably a little longer, because I was still driving my son to and from this side of town to go to Blessed Trinity. He gets to drive now, so I don't have to do that drive every day. And my adoration hour was in the middle of the night. My adoration hour was, I think it was 4 to 5. In theory, that was so that I could go to the gym at 5. That happened like twice, I think. But anyway, so I had had my adoration hour that morning, and I was reading this book that a friend of mine gave me on trust, and it was from Sister Faustina. And she mentioned, so there was the chapter was, Jesus, I trust that you will... Jesus, I trust that you will let me forgive, I think, or that I will not. Anyway, I can't remember exactly. I didn't think about telling the story until just a few seconds ago. Anyway, she mentioned Father, why am I blanking on his name? The priest that travels with the Eucharistic miracles. She mentioned this aspiration that he wrote to forgive. And I read it in adoration, and it was absolutely one of the most powerful. I'm blanking on specifics. I just remember the feeling of actually being able to at least visualize how to forgive. So I immediately walked out of adoration, texted my friend that had given me the book, and just was like, I cannot believe this happened. I need to look this person up because I started looking the person up, and it was a person that it wasn't, I thought it had been written hundreds of years ago. And it was a person that was traveling with Eucharistic miracles right now. And I couldn't believe that I'd read it and that person existed. And then I'm driving back from Blessed Trinity and I'm listening to The Quest because, to be perfectly honest, they were plugging something of ours. And I was like, I want to hear that spot. Then they were plugging our Faith and Love Conference. And right before they plugged our Faith and Love Conference, they plugged the Eucharistic Miracles with this priest that was coming that I had just read about that morning in adoration that had been kind of life-changing for me in that moment. And I thought, oh my goodness, you are so amazing to me, Lord.
Amen.
And that was during adoration. And I think if I'm reading you correctly, Andy, that that's one of the things that we can be doing as a parish and as an individual to participate in the Eucharistic revival is
definitely
being a guardian.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, just adoration, perpetual adoration, which, you know, we're really blessed here in the Archdiocese. There are many parishes with perpetual adoration. I know there was a pause during COVID, but a lot of our parishes are coming back, and even parishes that don't have perpetual adoration but have regular opportunities where folks can kind of experience holy hours. And this is what we're about. This is part of the revival, is spending time with the Lord and asking Him, what is He calling us to do? So, Ron, I mean, I know you're here, too, to share kind of what your experience of adoration has been, and maybe if you could talk a little bit about that.
And thank you, Andy. I think I'm kind of like a typical cradle Catholic, you know, did adoration every now and then, got family life going. And at St. Peter Chanel, we've had it since Monsignor McMee started it. And I'd pop in every now and then, you know, something going on in life, some friends or something, stop in, say hi to the Lord, say a rosary, pray for him, and you know, go about my daily life, so to speak. It wasn't really till after I did a chirp weekend 12 years ago or something like that, that it really hit me that what is perpetual adoration and what could it mean for me? Mm-hmm. And an acquaintance at the time was leaving the 2 o'clock Monday morning hour. And Dale, who got me to go to chirp, Dale Gregg, I picked that up, and it was, my wife would disagree, but it's the fastest hour of the week, and it's an amazing way to start your week for since it's a Monday morning, 2 o'clock.
At 2 a.m., are you able to stay awake for the whole hour?
Oh, well, it depends. If Dale's there, yes, and if he's not there, and, you know, Lord says, you know, I figure, you know, if I take a little nap while he's there, it's I'm going to be okay. But it's amazing the conversation you can have with our Lord, whether it's between your ears or if there's nobody there with you. I even, from a suggestion, got up. I walk in the chapel and have an out loud conversation and do the hand gestures like I'm doing now, people can't see. It's a way of having that, and you just a little quietness, and all of a sudden your heart changes a little bit while you're while you're
there's
doing
such
that
an intimacy in that moment.
It's amazing, and you come out of that hour, if you will, changed every time. And you don't know it, and you don't realize it until you look back the last week and what how you got through it.
Yeah.
Whether it was you weren't expecting or what you got through, you want to come back and say hi and thank you, and it's just it's an amazing little 1 hour.
Yeah,
you know, it doesn't sound like a lot, but why is it different?
I think you're right. This is a terrible excuse, but as a mom of four and when the kids were super little, I found it very challenging to commit to that.
It is.
But when I did commit to it, what I found really quickly is that there would be moments when I just couldn't wake up. I was like, oh, maybe I should just sleep. And I actually felt like God was calling to me and saying, I would like to spend this time with you, Carissa. And I never felt more able to relate to how much God was desiring me. And that was, again, I don't want to get choked up on the radio, but that was
beautiful, though, right?
It was, I mean, shocking.
We want to spend eternity.
Humbling.
We do. We'll spend eternity with our Lord. So, and He just asked for an hour a week, right? Just come to Mass. And but if you could spend a little extra time with Him and
just with Him.
Just with Him. I mean, it's like, it's wonderful. We're together in the communion at the Mass, but here, even if there's somebody else there with you or during the day, there's four or five other, you're there in the presence of our Lord.
Yeah.
And He can singly focus on how many people in the world, you at that time.
Exactly.
And hears exactly what's in your heart, even if you forget to say
anything.
It out loud or anything. It's there. Yeah.
The sun is shining, too. You know,
amen.
Like you have a change.
Yeah.
And sometimes you come out a holy hour. You know, for me, you know, there might be times when you're dead tired.
Yeah.
And you've maybe slept most of adoration, and you can take consolation, as we were talking about before. Yeah. Like St. Teresa of Lisieux shared that a lot. Other holy hours that are like, wow, I was able to have a real active conversation. I think I listened to the Lord, too. Sometimes it's kind of like catching ourselves like, Lord, help me listen to you.
Let me stop
Spend
speaking.
Time. But no matter what, you know, no matter kind of where in what you're going through, you walk out of that holy hour and you know the Lord Jesus was there and He was shining on you. Mm-hmm. You know, He was there with you. Mm-hmm. And he loves that. He loves us spending time with Him because it helps us.
It's like that friend. We all have a friend, right, that you haven't seen in years. And then when you see that friend again, it's like you picked up right away.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in spending time with our Lord in adoration. It's like you're getting to know that friend that you're going to spend eternity with.
Right.
Even Amen. Though you may or may not have done it for years, you just start doing it, but that's the kind of friend you're going to have for all eternity.
Right.
So if you can kind of get to know him now, it's going to be even better.
Amen to that.
We had I go to Prince of Peace in Flowery Branch, and one of our deacons, I think it was Deacon Bill, was talking about adoration, and people would ask him, what do I do in adoration? And he said,
whatever.
But you know, if you want to read scripture, great. If you want to say a rosary, great. If you want to sit there and do nothing, great. What, you know, and he said, and then he brought up the analogy. He said, it's like his son goes to UGA, and he said, he'll come home. And he said, it's just nice having him home. He said, he can be sitting on the floor doing whatever, and I'll be over here reading a book, but it's just knowing he's there in the room with me is awesome. And it's kind of the same thing,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, that Christ is right there with you, and you don't have to say anything. You don't have to do anything. Just be there.
What's that story of the gentleman in the church where I think the priest came up or somebody asked him, like, what are you doing, you know, during adoration? It was like, well, the Lord's looking at me and I'm looking at him.
Yeah, amen. Mm-hmm.
Very simple.
Yeah.
And there's different ways that we can kind of enter into that prayer, but it doesn't have to be too complicated, right?
It's and it's different every week. It is truly different.
That's true.
Somebody else. And it doesn't matter this is my routine, and, you know, hey, something else happened, and hey, granted, the Lord already knows about it, and you're experiencing it now, but it's whatever you do is perfectly wonderful for him.
Yes. We all have those people in our lives that we are perfectly comfortable being silent with,
mm-hmm.
and I realized very early on that I didn't know if I was comfortable being silent. I sing at Mass. I have music going on all the time. Am I comfortable being silent with our Lord? So for a while, I just kind of put myself through that experience. Like, just be quiet and see what happens.
Yeah. I mean, that's what this revival is about, too, this Eucharistic revival, which we're talking about on the Best of the Quest Pledge Drive, AM 1160, The Quest. Please donate.
Please
pledge
donate.
Donations. There's a lot of ways to do that. I know you can call 470-508-1160 or go to thequestatlanta.com or tap donate on the Quest Atlanta app. Yes,
absolutely.
But please support The Quest. The Quest is such a great resource here in Atlanta in a way that
we need it
opens
to continue.
Opens up our Eucharistic faith, too. Every program on the Quest is evangelizing, is catechizing, is spreading the faith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's uplifting, too. So it's a beautiful gift.
And
here.
It's all in different ways, too. Each program is a different, you know, whether it's, you know, Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck, who, you know, they've got one thing, you know, I mean, they're more about the family and, you know, kids and things like that. But then, you know, called to communion. There's another one where, I mean, for people that are thinking about becoming Catholic is who it's targeted for.
Mm-hmm.
But me being a cradle Catholic, I like that show just because it's like, oh, wow, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, and local programming we have, I mean, that is a, I mean, I don't know how much, I don't know what your budget looks like, but the ability to actually offer local programming with both Archbishop Hartmeyer, then you have the Family Room with Mari Cleveland, right?
And yeah, Mari, John, and Craig.
Yeah.
And, you know, the great thing is that Mari, John, and Craig, I mean, I've been in radio a long time, but they do a really good job.
Yeah.
I mean,
definitely,
like top notch, and they're volunteers.
That's amazing.
Okay, we don't pay them.
Such a great gift.
We don't pay them anything. They commit their time. They've got full time jobs. I mean, they're out there earning a living, and they carve time out to come in here to put that show on the Family Room, so that people can, you know, better their families.
That's
right. It's a tool that you can use for your family.
And that wouldn't exist without the sponsors that are out there supporting. This is entirely sponsor-driven radio, just like NPR, but doing so much more for our souls and our faith and our community. Without the Quest, I mean, I know that Carol has told her story before, which is absolutely inspirational, of how the Quest came to be. But we didn't have anything like this. And we were saying yesterday, I was also talking to Helen Young, who's a deacon wife at our parish. She was on right after us. We have noticed, and I'm sure you have too, Ron, that Atlanta is alive and growing in the faith, and it is so exciting and humbling to be here in that moment. And the Quest is such a huge part of that. Everything you're doing at the Chancery is a huge part of that. So we're grateful for you too. Thank you.
And somebody yesterday was saying that I'm going to mess this up, but Atlanta is the
Father
fastest.
Said that, yeah.
Father Neil said
yeah,
that.
Because yeah, because Archbishop Hartmeyer just told him that Atlanta is the fastest growing diocese in the country. Is that
That's right?
Right.
There was a recent study, CARA, out of Georgetown, the Center of Applied Research in the Apostolate.
And that's not due to just people moving to Atlanta.
I think it's probably both.
Yeah. Right.
Like, I mean, Atlanta is a unique place. Being in the South,
sure,
it's a place where there is growing kind of growth from immigrant communities, mm-hmm, but then also folks moving from the North. Here's my take on it. I mean, it's such a blessing to be here in this archdiocese. But like folks and folks who are listening will understand this. It's like we're not called to be complacent. Right, we have a lot of growth here in the archdiocese, mm-hmm, but we're called to grow in the ways that the Lord
disciples.
Wants us to grow, to be disciples.
Yeah.
We can't be complacent with this growth. We have to take it as a real opportunity to lean into it, which the Quest is doing that right now. You know, even with this additional local programming,
yeah,
to be able to offer that.
And I made the observation, I guess, that you know we signed on in 2018, I think
yeah,
it was. And now all
and that's
all
when
of
all the
sudden,
growth
yeah,
happened, right?
Yeah. I mean, coincidence? I don't know. Maybe.
I mean, but to your point, I've actually thought, and I think of this. Just we're in primarily in education, but I think about this with education all the time. That if we're not answering that call, we're going to be responsible for that. Lord willing, we see him in heaven one day. He's going to say, what did you do with these opportunities that I put right in front of you? Atlanta is hopping. It's growing. The Catholic faith is alive and amazing. Okay, what are you going to do? Go get the rest of them.
What did
because
you
we
do,
need them all.
What did you do to bring people closer
right,
to me?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Yes. Dave, how are we doing with pledges thus far, and what's the hour looking? I know we're coming near to the end of our
yeah,
hour here.
It's going. I know that yesterday we had just over 40,000, which is great for a first day. Our goal is 175.
We got to ratchet it up
yeah,
today, right?
For the whole
thing.
So we do Double today it. And tomorrow as well. So definitely we need monthly donors. If we can, and if you are a monthly donor, I know we talked about this earlier, but you know, with inflation and everything, you know what it's like. All of us in this room know what it's like on your own personal household expenses.
Yeah,
the Quest is in. I mean, we're buying stuff just like everybody else.
Yeah.
You know, so our expenses have increased as well over the past year or two.
So it's all about priorities. Figure out where mm-hmm. your priorities are and give where you can.
And you know, you're sitting down, and I do this. You know, you got your monthly bills, and you got a stack.
Right.
I do it the old-fashioned way. I got the stack over here, and I go through, and you know, but. You know, maybe look at all those things and think, you know what? Wow. I don't need this one.
Right.
I don't really need Netflix, or I don't really need Hulu, or
right.
whatever the case may be. I mean, I'm not
or that weird app that you forgot that you downloaded because
yeah.
it was a fitness app and you were hoping that you would do it when you went
going
to the gym.
To yeah.
I really, really need to go to the gym.
We all do. My dad would always say, more prayer, more exercise.
Amen.
He'd come off of his retreats and that'd be the advice.
Well, get rid of that app, go outside and walk and donate to the
Hey, see that sunrise or that sunset?
That's
that,
right.
That spot, wherever you're seeing it at, that was made just for you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
absolutely.
It's just for you.
So, yeah, we're looking for first-time donors, too. If you've never donated, this is a great time to do it during our pledge drive.
Yeah.
And we're speaking with Andy Lichtenwalner. I'm going to say your name first because I'm going to get this right. You are the Archdiocesan Director of Evangelization and Discipleship.
Amen.
Hey.
Did I get it?
You got it,
right. And we have such a great team in the Archdiocese. I haven't been able to talk to them or talk about them.
Yeah.
You know, but... Like we have such great people that are working for the Archdiocese, not only in the chancery offices, the pastoral center offices, but through our parishes. You know, Chris mm-hmm. is one.
Mm-hmm.
She wears many hats. She brings a lot of beauty to the liturgy because she's our cantor, among many things that she does at our parish.
Thank
you know, but
you.
We're getting a sense of this with the Best of the Quest. You're hearing
yeah.
from the people. We have such great supportive people in this Archdiocese. That's why our parishes are growing
right.
and our Archdiocese is growing. That's why the Quest is here.
Yeah, we're so grateful to be able to get out of our bubbles. I mean, I say all the time, I live in a bubble for sure. There's no question. I hardly ever leave Kennesaw. It's hard for me to do that. I don't have time. But to get to know other people and our brothers and sisters all over the diocese is a gift, and we're grateful for that.
Mm-hmm. And real quick, and I've been wondering this all hour, so you were saying in 2 years then, in Indianapolis in June, it's going to be the...
Yeah, so July of 2024, the 17th through the 21st,
oh,
there's
July.
Going to be a
okay.
National Eucharistic Congress. So actually, our hope here in the Archdiocese,
right.
because we have this national Congress, we won't have a local Congress that year. That's going to start up again in 2025. But in 2024, the hope is that we'll have an archdiocesan procession, a Eucharistic procession.
So, and that'll be in Indianapolis.
So the Congress, the national Congress, will be in Indianapolis in 2024 in July.
Right. And so what? And would we expect kind of the same thing if you've been to a Eucharistic Congress here? Would it be kind of the similar?
But much bigger. Yeah.
I was thinking it might be something like a World Youth Day almost.
So this, I mean, they're hoping for 80,000. You know, we've gotten upwards of maybe 20 to 30,000 at our congresses. Not that many this year because we're coming right off of COVID again. Sure. But they're hoping for 80,000 folks. So I think those of you who have attended Eucharistic Congress here, there's going to be similarities. Mm-hmm. But it's, you know, a national scope, a national level. Delegations coming from different dioceses. Really wonderful opportunity. So there, the analogy with World Youth Day.
You're I would love more to see church. That, because I've heard that I've never been to, my siblings have been to World Youth Day. Have you been to a World Youth Day?
I have, a couple.
That's so cool.
Amazing.
It's supposedly life-changing because you see so many, just like we're talking about our you know, the group here, you see so many other Catholics. You're looking through the same lens.
Right. Right. Yeah. I was serving the bishops at the time, so it's a little different experience. Ron, have you ever?
I have not. No, I have not experienced that.
You know, there, I mean, the Eucharist is at the center of it. You know, the culmination is this beautiful time before our Lord in the Eucharist, a vigil during nighttime. The Holy Father will show up during that time. But it's amazing to see all these young people in total silence. And if we need anything in our life right now, a little bit more silence, a little more time before the Lord can do wonders for us.
Was it St. Francis said in his day, we need to have the three S's. Need to slow down, some silence, and some solitude.
Perfect.
And he thought it was his in his day, which was a few days ago. We got to need it now. And and adoration is it gives you all three of them, though. That's wonderful.
Amen to that.
Well, Carissa, Andy, and Ron, thank you so much for your time today and helping out to raise money for the Quest.
Thank you,
really
Dave.
Appreciate
Thanks, Dave.
It.
Appreciate it.
God bless you all.
Thanks. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.